big opening weekend in college football, Matt, and really a big opening couple of weekends. All kinds of big non-conference matchups. You got Washington and Auburn on Saturday, which is probably the biggest one.
I'm excited about that one.
I'm excited about Notre Dame, Michigan as well.
That's the second one on my list.
Miami LSU is a third big game on the opening night. Not too shabby. So lots of big matchups to get excited for, including that one, which is just right down the street.
Come on, Alabama, Louisville. It's a big non-conference game. Not really. If only Lamar Jackson had played another year.
What were you on with me when I was joking? Could he just play that game?
That'd be fun to see.
Then report back to Baltimore.
Him against that Bama defense? That'd be fantastic. And then, of course, you've got, who is it, Virginia Tech and Florida State Monday night. So, really, the four games amongst the ranked teams. But the question is, in this era of college football, why do they continue to schedule the Power 5 non-conference helmet game, so to speak? The game that has this type of an impact, whereas, for instance, as we just mentioned, Auburn and Washington. Now, to be fair, a lot of the times when they schedule these games, they have no idea whether the team they're going to play is going to be good or not. When Alabama scheduled Louisville, they didn't realize Louisville wouldn't be a top 25 team.
Right.
It just so happens to play out that way over the course of time. But when you look at this, the reality of the modern collegiate football scenario, where you have the Final Four, the playoff, your best chance of getting into the playoff is with zero or one loss.
Yep.
It really doesn't matter. If you go undefeated, if you are in a Power 5 conference, it does not matter who you play.
And now that's kind of the old Art Briles Baylor strategy. They were like, hey, we're not going to schedule anybody, and we're going to try and go 13-0. That's our strategy. And we have, it will not happen where an undefeated Power 5 team gets left out. So it makes you wonder, why schedule anybody at all? And Stuart Mandel of The Athletic kind of outlined this in a piece he did yesterday, I believe. And there's already a couple of examples in the few years we've had this playoff where the biggest example to me a couple of years ago, Washington. They play Portland State, Rutgers, and Idaho in the non-conference. They still lose a game in the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. But go on to win the Pac-12, they get in even with a loss without playing anybody in the non-conference. So it begs the question, why schedule anybody at all if you can even get in under those circumstances? And granted, if you lose a game, it's kind of up in the air. I think it just worked out that year for them in that instance. But it is possible. There's been zero teams with two losses get in.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that is going to be interesting this season, especially you mentioned Washington a couple years ago, but go look at Georgia's non-conference this year. I guess Georgia Tech, if you want to make a case for that, but outside of Georgia Tech, I mean, it's literally nothingness. It's Austin Peay, Middle Tennessee State, and then some other crap team with Georgia Tech. So if you're Georgia, who cares about your non-conference? All you got to really do is make a run in the SEC East, and you're getting in regardless. Nobody's going to sit there and go, oh, well, they didn't really play anybody in the non-conference.
Well, yeah, I mean, they can even lose a game in the season as long as they win the SEC Championship game in Atlanta. They're absolutely in. I mean, even Alabama last year, very good team. They went on to win the national title, didn't have a great schedule, didn't even get into their conference title game, but you just know that if they lose, they're going to get a free loss unless there's just an extreme situation where four other Power 5 conferences have unbeatens, which yes, it can happen, but that is very extreme. I think, you know, in extreme years before the playoff, the debate would always be, well, there's three Power 5 unbeatens. Right. Who are the two playing for the national title? So that's kind of been fixed, but you know, Alabama historically is given a free loss, and they will still get into the playoff, as we saw last year. And so, and even this year, yes, when they scheduled Louisville, it was expected to be a tougher game. But now that's a middle of the pack Power 5 team. Mm-hmm. You look at their conference schedule. I think their toughest game outside of the Iron Bowl is Mississippi State at mm-hmm. home. I mean, you know, they can lose one of those games and still get into the playoff. So
yeah, it's interesting because the non-conference game, and we all love them. You love seeing the helmet games. I mean, Auburn and Washington, what random teams to play each other, but they just happen to be top 10 teams this year. And last year, obviously, we saw the season open with Alabama and Florida State, the 1-2. And, of course, the injury, and it didn't end up being what we were hoping that it would be. But you like seeing the helmet game. And I know one thing that we have seen that Alabama has really done, and you have to go back to when Saban was first there and they did the home and home with Penn State, and they're about to start doing it again. But for that stretch of almost 10 years, they always did the neutral site opener. And they would do them at different spots around the country. And part of what that is for recruiting purposes. They yep. use these games as recruiting tools to where, okay, maybe it's difficult for you to come here, but you can come watch us in Dallas or in Atlanta or in Orlando or wherever it is.
And I think that's the incentive for a lot of these programs to still do those neutral site games. I'll give you a perfect example. My alma mater had a scheduled home-and-home with Ohio State. Both schools came to agreement. Let's do one game at Jerry World. We're going to make a lot of money. Ohio State already recruits well down here. It'll be a recruiting tool. And, hey, it only risks 1 year instead of two for both of us right. In terms of the playoff. I think that had a massive reason to do with why they came to that decision. And to me, that's a shame. I wanted to see TCU go up to Columbus and play in the Horseshoe. I wanted Ohio State to go over to Fort Worth
sure.
and play at A&G. But now, you know, yeah, it's going to be fun over there in Jerry World in a couple of weeks, but instead of two games, we get one neutral game. I mean, I just think that's a shame, and I think the larger discussion here, Matt, is it's just another reason why the playoffs should be expanded. Teams will have more incentive to continue to play these type of games in an expanded playoff, because if this trend continues where if you lose to a big non-conference game and that, you know, one conference game, and all of a sudden you look back and you're like, man, if we would have just scheduled soft and only lost the one game in conference, we may yeah. have been in. It makes you wonder how much longer these programs are going to schedule like this.
Well, I've always thought, and again, it goes back to a lot of these things. If you're going to expand the playoff, that's a different conversation. But with the way that it's currently constructed, you have to have some sort of baseline where at least everybody has the same framework of this is how you get into the playoff. And to me, if we're going to have a nine-game conference schedule in some conferences, all conferences should have to play a nine-game conference schedule. Regardless if it's the SEC, which you can look on paper and say, well, it's a deeper, harder conference. Fine. So what? Everybody should be playing three non-conference and nine conference or 8-4.
It
should
be
the same framework. Right.
Yep.
It should be the same
Absolutely.
Thing where you go through that. And it ought to be, okay, none of us are playing FCS, or we're all going to play one FCS. However you want to do it, it needs to be the same framework so you can at least say, while they play in different conferences and it's different styles of football in some cases, at least they have the same framework, body of the frame that yeah. qualifies you to get into this playoff.
Look at a couple of Big 12 teams this year, Matt. West Virginia and Texas have 11 Power 5 games this year.
It's tough,
11.
Man.
And Texas's non-Power 5 game is against Tulsa, who in most years is a pretty good Group of 5 team. Where's the break?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Kansas is the biggest break, a team that's in your conference. You know what I mean? West Virginia plays, yeah, Tennessee and NC State aren't powerhouses, but traditionally those are solid Power 5 teams, and then they have their 9-game Big 12 schedule. Some SEC teams have 9 Power 5 games. I mean,
yeah.
that's two more.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to sit here and say, well, you have to schedule a certain depth of team. Because, again, like we just said, as you pointed out, playing Tennessee most years, when Tennessee is what they're supposed to be, that's a difficult game.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, they've fallen off in recent years. And it's like Texas. You can make the case that playing Texas in the past couple of seasons has been something that says it's just kind of a middle-of-the-pack opponent. But you don't know that when you make these schedules.
Not only that, you think USC is feeling good about traveling to Austin
right
this year? Absolutely
no.
not.
But it's one of those things where you just don't know what the team's going to be, which is why it's interesting. The famous Texas is back. That was when Texas and Notre Dame went against each other. Texas wasn't back. We didn't know Notre Dame wasn't any good that year. We all thought, wow, Notre Dame's going to be really good. Texas, this means that they're beating this team, which is so interesting. And one of the reasons why, throughout the course of the season, what you do in the first week changes so much by the time you get towards the Iron Bowl, for instance, and games at the very end of the season that carry so much more weight, where if you lose one of those games, the playoff committee always looks at that, and that loss carries a lot more weight than, say, if Washington happens to lose to Auburn on Saturday.
Well, yeah, I look back to the first year of the playoff when Ohio State got embarrassed by Virginia Tech yeah. at home, but they went out and they throttled Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game. Which message is louder, the mm-hmm. last game you played or a game 3 months ago? The last game you played, and that's
right.
why they got into the playoff. And that's why, to me, you know, we love watching these games. Like, yeah, Texas and Notre Dame both ended up not being very good that year, but I remember watching that game being like,
hell
damn,
yeah.
this is entertaining. This is fun. These are two blue blood programs. I don't know how good they're going to be the rest of the season, but it's awesome to watch right now.
I'd like to see more of it, which is, and this is a completely different argument that takes you down a rabbit hole that depending on what side you fall on, you cannot win. But the FCS games, I cannot stand. And I get it. I understand that in a lot of cases, some of these FCS programs, with the money they got, if that went away, it would cripple them in ways that we just don't have time to get into. But the reality of it is the Power Five and the Group of Five are a different beast. And if you're going to be a Power Five team, I would at least like to see you, if you're going to play three non-conference, play two other Power Five teams and then throw in one Group of Five team.
Yeah.
And I can at least live with that. But this thing of scheduling the FCS, and I get it, they need it. But at some point, you just wonder if this is going to be where you break off and there has to be some sort of a, again, as I said before, a framework of this is what everybody schedules. Schedule however you want within that, but here's how you schedule.
And I think if you're going to keep playing FCS teams, which I personally have no interest in those games, but if it's going to continue to happen, it needs to be universal to what you're saying. If you have three non-conference games, fine. Everybody plays one FCS, everybody plays one Group of Five, everybody plays one Power Five. As long as it's the same for everyone, I'm fine with that. Right. And I'm not saying, you know, you're Power Five, you have to schedule a top 20 team or, you know, a top 50 team. Like, yeah, some years your Power Five game is going to be easier than another team's, but at least in terms of the structure, it is closer to what it is now, and I think that is how you kind of fix that gap right now in terms of the strength of schedule.